I guess the first reaction that I have to coming here tonight is that at least things are beginning to normalize. Right? We're outdoors, a little bit of different venue, but hopefully we're on the road to recovery of many sorts. I think that what the world has gone through, what the country has gone through, what families and you know, everyone has gone through on one level or another, certainly raised a sense of seriousness of life. Those that contemplated a little bit the connection between Rosh Hashanah and what happens during the year probably couldn't escape the thought that it was all decided last year. Rosh Hashanah sealed on Yom Kippur, and wow, a lot of ramifications to that decision. This was probably the most dramatic and expansive picture of, you know, what goes on Rosh Hashanah. Well, so on the one hand, that could really shake us up about the coming Rosh Hashanah. And coming Rosh Hashanah, we're not even sure yet. The shuls are functioning on a different level. People are preparing tents in their backyards to have minyonim. We're still agonizing about the amount of people that we could fit into to the yeshiva and to Ezra's Noshim and what have you. So, you know, the moment is quite serious, and with the backdrop of the past 6 months, we're beginning for the first time to begin to comprehend the magnitude of the seriousness. But despite that, and maybe because of that, I'd like to look at this from a completely different perspective. Because frankly, I think that seriousness, fear, concern, worry, certainly have their place and have their benefits. But there's a breaking point. And when we reach the breaking point, then the results are not positive, they're negative. They're very negative, and they're overwhelmingly negative. And therefore I'd like to try to look at the coming Rosh Hashanah, the coming year, in a little bit more of a positive perspective. There's a very interesting comment in the Haggadah of the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid was one of the great Rishonim. There's the Haggadah that's now, I don't even know if it's in print, but today they have access, you know, on this Oitzer HaChochma to things that nobody ever dreamt about. And it's a Haggadah that he wrote, a Pirush on the Haggadah. And he writes, he asks a question. He says, "We thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. If he hadn't put us in there, he wouldn't have to take us out. So, like, what's the big deal? What are we so excited about? Make a whole yontif about it. He put us in there, made us go through all that. The Lord took us out of Mitzrayim, Shkoyach." So he says, and it's on the phrase in the Haggadah, "Mitchila oivdei avodah zorah hoyo aviseinu." We stem from idol worshippers, from Terach Avi Avraham. So he says that as such, we really couldn't have been privileged, we couldn't have been zoiche to receive all that Hashem wanted to give us. The mitzvahs, the Torah, Shabbos, Kabbalah, HaTorah, Maimon Har Sinai, and so forth. So he says, he put us in Mitzrayim. He made us go through very, very challenging and painful situations. And then v'chas aleinu, when he had rachmonis on us, look what I put you through, look what you went through, look how much you suffered. And then he was able to grant us what we couldn't have earned by right, because of the fact that there was some genetic shortcoming in us because of Terach, because of the background of Avodah Zarah, and that limited the amount that we could be privileged to, but because of what we went through, Hashem was able now to entitle us to receive beyond what we ever could have deserved. And I would like to apply that, and I think it's very applicable to our situation. We went through a lot. Some people directly, some people vicariously, everybody in some way of compromise and difficulty, and you know, it was very wonderful to say that, oh, the family's all together, we're spending time together. That was good for a month or two or three, if you're lucky, maybe. You know, and after that, oy. This is not the way, it wasn't meant to be this way. We're meant to be together in the evenings, we're meant to be together for dinner, we're meant to be together on Shabbos. Oh, but, come on, have rachmonis, you know, this is not a way of life. So, you know, we all went through, and some of course went through tragedy, and some of us felt affected by the tragedy, even if it wasn't so close to home. So, we went through a lot. And we have to take the attitude that maybe, and let's be confident, which always helps, that Hashem has in store for us a very, very special bracha. That the coming year is going to be a year of hatzlocha and mazel and bracha and you know, endless good that's going to happen to us. But unfortunately, we may not have been worthy of all of this, and therefore, we went through a lot. Hashem saw our situation, sees our situation, has rachmonis on us. And now as we come to Rosh Hashanah, we stand in judgment on Rosh Hashanah. We stand with a different defense. Not the defense of, oh, I did great and I was so good this year and I have so many mitzvahs. And not the defense even of, well, I made mistakes, but I'm doing tshuva and I'm changing, which are all very, very, very important defenses. But we have something else. We suffered. We went through a lot. And therefore, we invoke the idea of the Tosfos Reed. And we say to you, Rabbeinu Shelelem, you know, we went through a lot. And we're sure, we're confident. Fighting a little bug over here. We're confident that you're going to, that you put us through this in order to... No, don't worry about it.
We have normal switches?
What? No, it's okay.
The water's for you, by the way.
I'll share it with him. Thank you. Gotcha. Oh, no, I don't. Anyway, and we're confident that you're going to take into consideration that which we went through, and we're maybe even confident that you put us through that because you really want to privilege us with far more than we ever could have earned, than we ever could have deserved. And I think with that attitude, things are completely different. With that attitude, we can have a certain optimism, a certain positivity, a certain bitochen. And the truth of the matter is, and I've mentioned this so many times, that bitochen is a powerful, powerful tool. I would say a powerful, powerful weapon as we stand in front of Hashem on the Yomim Noiroim, on the days of Rosh Hashanah and until Yom Kippur. And I often quote what's really based on what the Chofetz Chaim says. There's a kapitel in Tehillim, kapitel Lamed Gimel, Ranenu Tzadikim, said in the Pesuk HaNezim on Shabbos morning. In the middle, there's a pasuk HaYotzer Yachad Libon HaMevin El Kol Maaseihem. The Creator takes the hearts of everyone together, and He understands the depths of everything they do. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah learns from here that on Rosh Hashanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the whole world and judges it b'skira achas, in one swift look, looks at the entire world and judges us accordingly b'skira achas. So then the psukim continue. So Hashem is judging the world on Rosh Hashanah. Ein hamelech noisha barov choyel. The king with his armies, that's not going to help him. Gibor lo yinotza barov koyach. The strong man with his koyches, it's not going to help him either. Sheker hasus l'shua has a lot of horses, or has a lot of armored vehicles, I don't know, tanks. Rav chela lo yimalit, with all of his armies, he will not be able to escape the din. Hine ein Hashem el yireyov lam yachalim l'chastoy. The eye of Hashem looks favorably on those that fear Hashem. And here the Chofetz Chaim puts a comma and says, it doesn't say hamiyachalim l'chastoy, those who fear him, who are awaiting his chesed, who are trusting him for his chesed, but rather lamiyachalim l'chastoy, meaning a comma, there's two separate groups. There's the God-fearing people, Yirei Hashem, and then there's those that are not in the category of Yirei Hashem, but they're miyachalim l'chastoy. They're awaiting Hashem's chesed. And to both of these groups, those that are, so to speak, deservant of the benefit in the Yom HaDin, and those that are just awaiting the chesed, just relying on Hashem, just trusting Him, just knowing that He's not going to let us down, just knowing that to the degree that we put our trust in Him, it's to that degree that He responds. Those people, both groups are l'hatzil mimoves nafshom u'l'chayosom berov. He saves them from death. He sustains them in a time of famine. So we see from here something very interesting. There are two different possible positions that we can take as we stand on Rosh Hashanah and the Yom HaDin. One is that we're the Yirei Hashem, and hopefully we have a certain level of that that's going for us as well. But there's another group. There's the Miyachalim L'chastoy. There's those that are not Yirei Hashem, but they're hoping to Hashem. They're trusting Hashem. I just got this feeling. I know your kindness. I know your rachamim. I know you know what we've been through, and therefore we're awaiting your kindness. And that is an equal schus, it seems, in the Yom HaDin, l'hatzil moves nafshom, l'chayosom barov, and both groups are helped equally because of the approach with which they take towards the judgment on the Yom HaDin. So I think that, in a sense, what we've been through can really enhance that bitochen, because not only do we recognize that Hashem's chesed is eternal, not only do we recognize that Rosh Hashanah itself is the greatest chesed, rather than judging us at the end of our lives, but we get judged each year, we get the opportunity to clean the slate, so to speak, and to start all over again. And that, of course, is a very, very great chesed, that it doesn't pile up beyond what we can deal with. But not only that, we come to Hashem with another level of confidence. We say, even if we don't deserve it, we have another merit that can bring us to that, and that is, we've been through a lot. Really have. As a people, we've been through a tremendous amount. And Eretz Yisrael now, they're still going through it. I mean, who knows, like they're talking about closing the whole country down for a month now. It's serious. And we turn to Hashem and we say, you know, we're counting on you that these challenges that you gave us, which were for some people overwhelming and others quite trying, if not overwhelming, we're counting on you that you did it for a reason, because you want to give us this year brocha and hatzlocha beyond anything that we could imagine. And that should give us a sense of optimism. That should give us a sense of happiness. That should give us a sense of bitochon. And the truth of the matter is that the Chofetz Chaim writes in a letter, a very strong statement. He says, at the end of the letter, in the Machne Yisrael, he writes to soldiers serving in the army, these Jewish soldiers serving in, I guess, the Polish army. So he said, oh, maybe any army, I don't know. So he says, Kifi goydel habitochon, kach goydel ha-hatzlocha. To the degree of strength in one's trust in Hashem, it's to that degree that we receive success, that we're successful. In other words, It's not all or nothing. It's not if I manage to achieve that ultimate sense of trust in Hashem without any hesitation, without any concern, without any anxiety, without any possibility, considering any possibility of any alternative, then okay, then I'll be zeicha. But if I don't have that, it's all or nothing. He says it's not all or nothing. To the degree that I manage to maintain that trust, to whatever degree I can, it's to that degree that I will have the hatzlocha, I will succeed in my mission. In fact, the very posuk that we quoted says, Ein Hashem el yireof, lam yachalim lechastoy. Miyachel is a language of awaiting, hoping. It isn't even necessarily expressing the absolute confidence, but it's saying, I'm not losing hope. I'm not despondent. I don't despair. I'm not miyayish. I'm hoping. I refuse to give up hope. I am approaching these days with an optimism, with a true hope, with a real hope, with a brief, a portfolio of reasons that can allow me to be so hopeful. And when I have that sense of hope, I am zeicher, the pasuk says, to Hashem's hatova, to Hashem's kindness, to Hashem's mercy, to Hashem's positive response in the Yom HaDin. So that to whatever degree we have the bitochon, it's to that degree we succeed. And the very pasuk which tells us that that's an appropriate approach to the Yom HaDin is a pasuk that tells us that we're talking about hoping. We're not saying, we're not sure, but look, we got a lot to hope for. We certainly know that since we went through a lot, Hashem sometimes does that. There's a precedent in Mitzrayim, did that for the purpose to give us beyond what we deserve. And we know about the Chesed Hashem. We know we've seen a lot of tragedy, but we've seen a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. There are walking miracles in our midst. Our communities, other communities that, of course they don't decrease from the pain of the tragedies, but yes, miracles. And all of these things have to add up to give us a much more positive attitude as we approach the Yom HaDin. But I would like to mention also that the preparation for the Yom HaDin is the month of Elul. And Elul, we all know, the acronym that represents the Elul is the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. I am to my beloved is to me, which underscores the loving, passionately loving relationship that exists between the Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu from both sides, him to us and us to him. Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. Doidi Li V'Ani Loi. That's what Shir HaShirim is all about. And to think for a moment that despite the fact that sometimes we seem so distant, I love Hashem, I don't even know, but what does that mean? I don't feel that so strong. Sometimes I feel it more than others, and sometimes I feel it less than others. And sometimes I look around and I wonder, like, I don't feel His love so much either. And one thing we have to know, Shlomo HaMelech was a Novi. Not only was he the Chocham Mikol Odom, he was a Novi. And he told us in Shir HaShirim that even in the long and distant Golus, the love that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not diminish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us as He loved us when He stood with us at Har Sinai, when we stood with Him at Har Sinai, and we love Him as we loved Him then. Maybe buried, maybe hidden. His is behester ponim, as the pasuk says, he's mashkiach min achalonos. He looks through the windows. I assume he means the one-way window like you have in the shul, for the Ezra's Noshim. And meitzitz min acharakim. He peeks through the crevices, the little peephole where you can't see him, but he sees wide through the little peephole. Hashem. And us, we have that love for him too. We feel that passionate love. It's deep down in our heart. And even when it seems so remote, it's there. To tell you a little story just to bring out that idea. Reb Aryeh Levin, the famous tzaddik from Yerushalayim, in his days, the Rabbeinu Reb Chaim Berlin, who was a Rav in Moscow, settled in Yerushalayim. Reb Aryeh was very close with all of these people, and he used to see that on Friday afternoon, he would say Shir Hashirim, and when he would come to the posuk Einayich Yonim, your eyes are like the eyes of doves, the birds, so he would start to cry, this Reb Chaim Berlin. And Reb Aryeh asked him, why is it every time you say that posuk, I guess he must have seen it on a number of occasions, every time you say that posuk, you cry, you come to that posuk, you cry. So he told him as follows. He said, when I was a Rav in Moscow, in the middle of the night, a Jew comes to see me, wasn't even a religious Jew. He says, you must come with me right now. And I have a son, I want you to do the bris. He was a moyo too. So it was dangerous those days. If in Russia, if they did a bris, they could send them to the gulag. The moyo and the father, and who knows what they could do. But he went, and he did the bris. And then he asks him, he says, I don't get it. He says, you're not a religious man. You put your life in danger to give your son, not to mention his life, you put your life in danger to give your son a bris. Why? Why are you so motivated? Why does it mean so much to you? So he told him like this. He said, I'm not religious. I don't think I ever will be. My son, I don't think he'll ever be religious either. But if ever my son wishes to come back into the fold, I want to make sure that he's right there. He has a bris, that he's part of the Jewish people. And so Reb Chaim Berlin told him that when he says the words, Einayich Yonim, your eyes are like the eyes of a dove, he says, Chazal say that the dove is a very strange bird, that it goes out of the nest to get food, but it never goes far enough away from the nest that it can't see its way back, that it can't find its way back. He says, that's a Jew. No matter how far he drifts, no matter how much he distances himself from Hashem, from Torah, from Yadus, but he's always looking back. He's always concerned, whether in this guy it was a conscious concern, whether it's a subconscious concern, that kesher and that love is always there. That's what Shlomo HaMelech prophesied, that will be there, and that's within the hearts of each and every one of us. So I think in these days, we have to refocus on that relationship, and that means strengthening our tefillah. That's an expression of that relationship. We talk to Hashem, asking Hashem for personal things, even petty, the smallest of personal things. I'll never forget, I was once learning with becoming Baal Tshuva. He was on his way, and then we went over time, and he asked me if I can give him a ride to the railroad. This was in Cedarhurst. And it's because he was late, he's had to catch the train on time. So we're driving, and then we passed what used to be there on Central Avenue, Weiss's Stationery. He says, could we wait 1 second? I have to just run and get something. I need something to work on the train. And fine. And I said, my daughter asked me to get a pen, and I forgot all about it. And could you, when you go in, can you please, fine. Okay, comes out. And I thought, here I have a wonderful opportunity to teach this young man something very, very profound. And I said, look at this. Look how Hashem is concerned about little things in life. We went over time. You asked me for a ride. We happened to pass Weiss's Stationery. You happened to need something there. That triggered my memory. Now my daughter has this pen. And he looks at me with almost a pathetic look in his eyes. And he says, you don't get it. He says, Hashem is not concerned with little things. To him, whether your daughter has that pen or not is a very serious issue. He cares about those things. He loves us. He cares about every detail. And this is, he wasn't even a Baal Tshuva yet, but this is the lesson he taught me, and it's so true. And we should talk to Hashem. The Chayyotim writes at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, before you step back, after you said the Yehu L'Rotzoi, to ask personal bakoshas in any language, That's not only is it appropriate, it elevates the whole tefillah. And nothing is too small, and nothing is too petty, and nothing is too insignificant. Hashem really wants to give us all of our heart's desires. The problem is, he has a system where we have to earn something in order to appreciate it. And sometimes we didn't earn it, so we ask him. But that's what he wants. And sometimes through the asking, we connect with him on a different level, and then we become worthy of getting this, whatever it may be, that otherwise we weren't worthy of. And this is something that we have to work on, especially in these days. And we have to look for Hashem's involvement in our lives too, for his hashgacha pratis, because that's really the expression of his love. And anyone who looks can see that hashgacha Hashem, that hashgacha pratis, things that a fool would call a coincidence. But a wise person recognizes that there's a limit to how many things you can chalk up to coincidence. And I think if we work on that and we strengthen that relationship, that as we come to the Yom HaDin, we come with this portfolio, we come with this positive relationship, with this loving relationship, with this reignited loving relationship that we have. We come with a background of 6 months of all kinds of difficulties, which we turn to Hashem with confidence and say, it must be that you had in mind to give us way beyond we deserve. We come with the realization that when a person stands in judgment in front of Hashem, that if he puts his trust in Hashem, and he's miyachel lechastoy, he refuses to give up and to give up hope, that the good, all of the good, and the greatest good that we hope and pray for will be granted us. And that, I think, is a winning combination that gives us the influence to influence that which is decided on Rosh Hashanah, which is obviously serious stuff, but to be confident that will be decided in a favorable way for us and for Klal Yisrael. And hopefully, with that greater sense of confidence, we will in fact be zeicha to have a year that's full of brocha and mazel and nachas and as the nusach of the tefillah is that Hashem will be memale kol mishalos libeinu l'toivo, and there's Hashem. We should be zeicha to see that b'korev.